Herbert Burnett, Reel 1.
When did you join the army?
I joined the army in March 1930.
And why did you decide to do it?
Well, at that time, there was a lot of unemployment, and my mother had a large family, and I thought that I would make one less and join the services. Mm.
Did you have any preference which branch you joined?
Well, I don't think really. We were so young that we didn't know really what preferences there were. But when we got to the, when I got to the recruiting officer, he said, "Well, would you like to join the infantry?" Well, I said, "If that's all right, yes, I'll join the infantry." And I joined the local regiment, the East Yorkshire Regiment. But at the same time, if he'd have offered me any other choice and I'd have been more knowledgeable about them, I may not have gone into the infantry. But it's very hard in infantry at that time.
What's happened then?
At that time, we was sent to Beverley, our local headquarters, where we did 4 months training as a recruit. And we did various tests and various exercises. That was for 4 months, and then we pushed off to Aldershot. We joined our regular battalion from our depot training. And then after we was there for a while, the battalion was due for a move, and they moved back up to north to Catterick. I was there with that unit for about a year before I got my warning order to without going abroad. That would be about October 1931 at that time.
Had you thought about going abroad when you joined?
The topic was very much in the battalion between those fellows at that time about going abroad. I don't think it wasn't a matter of volunteering to go abroad, although I suppose you could have done if you'd have wanted to. I think it was automatic as far as the battalion was concerned. They had a list of names. You see, they had a lot of battalion roll, and I suppose they had to probably had to provide about 30 or so for the regular battalion abroad, and to replace those that's coming home, you see. And I suppose they just took some names off each company's list, and I happened to be one of them.
What did your family think about the fact you were going abroad?
that's a difficult one, is that. I think with us having a large family, and when I say large, there was 8 of us, and I was the youngest son of the family out of 4. I would say that there was a bit of interest attached to it, but I was going abroad and that was it, you see, yes. In other words, I think they just took it as part and parcel of the job I was going to do. Mm.
And were you told much about India
before you... Not a lot. We had... I think we had a talk before we went by one of the officers, who I suppose must have been to India before, because he seemed to know what he was talking about, and the whys and the wherefores, and what not to do and what to do, and how to sort of how to behave yourself with the various Indian people, because you know there's different classes of the castes and classes and that. Yes, we had a talk about it, but they didn't go into it an awful lot about it. And then when we got on the ship to go, we had one or two lectures by various people on the boat going across, and I don't think that was as much a matter of giving us knowledge about India in as much as to occupy our time on the ship, because it was a 3-week voyage and it was a long time for us people. But that's about as much of what we knew about India before we got there. Not a great deal.
Was it useful, what they told you?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, it was useful. They, we had a fairly good picture of what we were going to see. Of course, to go amongst the people was far different, I think, in some cases, to what they were talking about, on account of being so many different types of castes and things like that, you see. They was a different sort of people. I think the actual customs and the layout of the country, as what we told about it, I think it was fairly right, yes.
Could you describe the voyage?
The voyage? Oh, yes. We left at Southampton one afternoon on October 1931. We had a pleasant trip. Good voyage. Very old troop ship, though. This was the worst part of the journey, I think. It was the actual ship itself, the troop ship Navassa. I don't think you could expect a lot in those days, but the modern soldier would not travel in a ship like that, like we travelled in. It was awful, really. The troops was down below decks in the various units that there was, and they had a mess deck, each allocated a mess deck, and you had one of your own people who used to do mess orderly, and he used to look after and clean your area, and that was his job for the voyage, or perhaps you changed him over each week. We had 10 days to Port Said, and then we all got off the boat at Port Said, and we had a route march around the town. I think it was more to get us off the ship, stretch our legs a bit, and get us away from cramped quarters, because they were cramped a bit. And we went down to the seafront at Port Said, where I was allowed to have a swim and a lark around for a couple of 3 hours. And then we marched back to the ship, and the same night we sailed off down the Suez Canal and away. Yeah. Suez Canal, that was an interesting part of the journey. See, because there's land either side of you and the various pilot ships, pilot points, you know, guiding the ships through and things like that. You were guessing what ship was going to pass you in the next space, the lock, you know. Very interesting. And then into the Red Sea and across the Indian Ocean, part of it, and landed at Bombay at that time. It was a 21 day trip altogether. It was all right, I suppose, but we could have been living under better conditions, I think, at that time. Yeah.
Was there much trouble with seasickness?
Oh, I think for about 3 days, most of the chaps was, yes, with seasickness, you know, and then I think after about 3 days it sort of cleared up all around and everybody was quite happy after that.
Did you have any special duties?
Not on that ship, no. The only duties we had, I think we all took in turn, was to do a sentry duty on the ship at various ports, you know, various parts of the ship, yes. Now, we didn't get any uniform at all on the ship, but before we left England, we had our large kit bag, which held our own personal belongings, whatever we had those days, you see, and army issue stuff, and plus a sea kit bag. And in the sea kit bag, we had the initial issue of tropical trousers and a jacket and a pith helmet, you see, you know, the tropical stuff, so that when we got so far out, say to about Port Said or afterwards, then we changed from our khaki into this tropical clothing. And then when we got the other side and joined the unit, then we got the full issue of the far, you know, eastern clothing. But just enough to get us over the trip was the issue in England.
Could you describe the landing in Bombay?
Yes. The landing in Bombay, that's right. We, of course, there was somebody telling us, you know, well, about 3 o'clock or whatever time it was at that time, we should be sighting where we're going to, Bombay. And there was, you see, we were fortunate in our little group because we had two old soldiers at that time, two sergeants, I think there was, who was also with us, but they was returning from leave. See, they was already stationed in India, but they'd been home for 6 months, leave, you see, and they would rejoin the unit. So therefore, they give us a little bit of knowledge as to where was actually going, you see. And we approached Bombay, there was a gateway of India there, and we moved past that and moved into the dock. And then on the dock side, they had tables laid out. There was some cooking going on in one corner and that. And there was an issue of blankets going on in another part of the dock. And then you had the rail, the military troop transport also lined up there. Well, first of all, you was given a meal. It was some stew or something, or something easy, you know, some stew you got. And then, I believe they give you a packet of cigarettes. I think that was to encourage you to smoke this type of cigarette. I think it's more an advertisement than anything else. And then we got issued with bedding. Three blankets, and then we had a bedding cover, what we used to call a durry, to cover it and tie it up. That was your bedding roll. That you got because you was on the train for 2 or 3 days, and so you slept at night time on the train with that. And then, of course, whatever money we had was exchanged, which we didn't have much money those days, but what we had was exchanged for Indian money, the rupees and what have you. And then I think was drafted onto a train, you know, into an allocated part of the train, and Bob's your uncle, off we went. That's from Bombay Dock.
Was it a big surprise, or had you had a taste of it when you got off at Port Said?
A surprise for what?
Or was it very different from how you expected?
Oh, well, it was all different to us, you see, because, as I say, we was all young fellas. I think we was keen and looking forward to something, something strange. I don't know that it was different to what I expected to see, because I didn't know what I was going to see. You see, it just sort of arrived, and we had to fall in line with the picture that we saw.
Once on the train, what was that like?
Oh, the train, well, that was similar to the troop ship. I think that was a very big letdown as far as the British government or Indian government, whoever supplied those trains, to let troops travel in them. Because there were times, if you were travelling like we did through our service, when we've been on that train about 5 days or more, you see, and there was I would term them cattle trucks, and that's all I would describe them as. There was not at all comfortable. There was you was cramped up in style, you know. You hadn't got a lot of room to move about, and there was six. You had a compartment with a bottom one and a middle one, you know, bunks, you see. And then through the day, of course, the middle one lowered down, you see, and it made a bit more room. But I couldn't really describe them very well, because there wasn't... The troop travel in India at any stage wasn't very good at all in them days. Troops today wouldn't travel in them. No, they'd sit down first. They wouldn't have them.
What did you do for food?
Well,
on the train.
On the train. Well, they had the organised stopping places at military stations along the line. I think the going out, if I remember rightly, was near enough to 2 days. Near enough. They don't travel too fast. You're on a military train, of course. If anything's coming along, you know, the normal civilian line, you know, you shunt it into a side, and then you're out again, and on you go. So they don't go all that fast, unless they've got an emergency on, then they clear the land for you. But in normal times, they don't travel at all that fast, so it takes you a long time. Food is organised at various stopping places, and sometimes provide a good meal, and sometimes a quick meal to get you on the move and away up the road, you see. Yes, you wasn't hungry. That's one thing about it.
Could Could you buy stuff through the windows?
You could do, but you was advised not to do, because there was only these natives selling it, you know, fruit and things like that, and various drinks. Well, we was advised against it, which I think was quite right, because you didn't know where it was coming from, especially you didn't know what the mineral water was made of, and so we didn't. In fact, it was an order that we should not buy it. So if there was anything along the line where you could buy, it was organised by the services where you could buy it from, but not from any Tom, Dick and Harry. The first station that we had was it was at Lucknow, and Lucknow is in the centre upper part of India in the United Provinces. We had our first battalion stationed there, and when we arrived at the station, our little party of fellows got off, and the battalion commander was there. Also a small reception party, the RSM, etc., and the regimental band. They met us. They didn't make no fuss and bother on the station. We got off in a hurry. We sort of lined up, and off we went. We had about a 4 mile march to the barracks, if I can remember that right. I think that's right. And band playing us there, which is quite nice. We didn't look a very neat and tidy lot, because we'd been on the road about 3 weeks on the boat and 2 days cramped on a train, and I don't think really the battalion commander was very pleased with the stay we was. But we arrived there, and when we got into the lines of barracks, we was taken straight to the canteen, where the canteen Babu, as we called him, he was the gaffer, and he had us laid out, all tables laid out, and there was a meal prepared for us, and a very good, the best one we'd had for 3 weeks, very good meal, and another packet of these famous cigarettes, scissor cigarettes, that everybody was advertising. And then, while I was having the meal, the CO did give us a short talk, you know, welcomed us into the battalion, you know, hoped that we'd settle down with our various companies. And he would see us sort of later on as a hall draft when we got tidied up, you know, and give us a doings, give us a talking to. And then there was allocated to our company. What I'm talking about now is about 9:30 at night when we actually arrived there. So they didn't bother much at all. We had our meal, the steward talked to us, and then whatever company was allocated to, a sergeant out of that company was there to take us, you see, and he knew us coming, because our names had been forwarded weeks before, do you see, and he knew that Burnett and Clements and all like that was going to B company, so he shouted your names. You didn't wonder how we got to know you and you in you. And then as he shouted your name out, so you went outside, and he formed you in a small pad, might have been about a dozen lads, you see, and he took you to your company. Allocated you to a barrack room and said, well, there you are, that's your barrack room, only for tonight, because you'll be dished out in the morning with clothing and, you know, and so on. So that's how we got into Lucknow, into our company. Yeah. But Lucknow itself, do you want to know about Lucknow?
Yes.
Well, Lucknow itself is a very nice place. It's mainly a garrison town, at those days I'm talking about now, it's mainly a garrison town, and we were stationed there along with another infantry battalion. It was a Scottish battalion at that time, and there was an artillery unit, and then there was an Indian horse regiment, the Skinner's Horse, I think they called them. We were one of the well-known horse regiments at that time, and various, and a hospital, British military hospital, and various other small units. You was well away from the town, the battalion lines, well away from the town. And there were parts of the town that you were not allowed to go into, the were parts that you was, but it was well signed for you. You had Salvation Army, they had a little set up there. The Church Army, the C of E Church Army, they had a little set up around there. And someone else, I can't remember, someone else. But these places offered you a bit of recreation at night time. You could go and have a cup of tea and a sandwich or something, and have a game of billiards or a dominoes or something like that. Something to occupy a man, because there wasn't an awful lot, and people hadn't an awful lot of money to spend, you see. But it was very good. So, then they took us to Lucknow itself for one day, our party, and showed us round the town, places where we weren't entitled to go to, places we could go to, and a matter of interest, they took us to the residency, which played a great part in the Indian Mutiny, and showed us various places round there, and where they had the siege and whatever it was, you know. Then they took then we had a midday meal, a tiffin, in there. Then we had a further tour around the town, and then back to the barracks. That was a day's trip out for us. The actual barracks at Lucknow, and I think for what barracks I went to in India, there was all nearly all on the same lines. Do you see? They had each company. 1, 2, 3. Each company had 3 of these blocks. Great big things, great long things. Very cool, very high. And they had punkers swinging along, see? And in the older ones, they hadn't got the electric motors to drive the punkers. This is quite true, is this? And they used to have a native boy, and he used to sit in the centre of this block, what we used to call a day room. You used to have a day room, and then there was living accommodation on that side, living accommodation on that side, you see. And in the centre, there was this room where you could go and sit and write, just doing. And they used to have this little Indian boy, or man, and he used to sit there, and he had the rope, you see. And he must be pulling this rope very slowly, see, and it allowed the punkers to sway like that. See. Heavy job, because, he had to do two lots. One was going that way, and one was going the other side of the barrack room, didn't he? That was only on one occasion, as it looked now. But when we got to the next station, there was driven by the electric motors, you see. They're a bit more modern. And they had one electric motor in this, again, in this sort of a day room affair, which, kept the punkers on the move and that.
Did they break down?
Pardon?
Did they break down?
Oh, very often. Very often. And then you had to send for the local electrician, who was a native, of course, and he was attached to the unit, and you had to send for him, and he was the electrician, and he used to repair the job, you see, but everybody was shouting at him before he got done. yes. the actual, as I say, the barracks, they're rather large, they took up a lot of ground. See, they had these huge blocks and that. And they all had a plunge bath, a small swimming bath. Not very big, you know, but good enough to a couple of 3 strokes and you was back and forth like that, you know. Then they had the canteen. They didn't call them naffies like they do in England, just canteen. And that was it. That was a big place. Meals was fairly reasonable, cheap. Of course, they had to be cheap because you didn't get a lot of money. The money was only on 2 shillings a day at that time. Oh, I think it'd be worth 0.5 crown by the time we got abroad. And then I think you got a certain amount of overseas allowance, I think. And it might have been about another 6 months. You'd probably be on about 3 bob a day. So 3 bob a day. A rupee was 1/6, so you got 2 rupees a day, 10 rupees a week, because they all have stopped you something with barrack room damages. They all have made sure they stopped you a little bit. But they never paid you the full amount of money. See, you might draw 5 rupees, 7/6, you see. And so, going back to the canteens, they had to, their prices had to sort of steady themselves to the man's wages, do you see? And even then, you couldn't go galloping about, throwing your money about, because you had nothing to throw about. You just went somewhere and you say, oh, well, we'll go and have a little supper. you see. So you'd go and have a little supper and cut you about 8 hours, that sort of thing. It wasn't too bad. Then at the end of the month, of course, if you had any balance to come from the month, if it was a good quarter block, he would give you the balance of money and just leave you a little bit left in credit to pass over. So then you went out and had a couple of pints of ale, you see. Yes. I don't know there's much else on the Lucknow side. We used to go out on training quite a lot, and once a year, towards November time, the whole battalion used to up sticks, and away we used to go to... and then the battalion used to go, along with other battalions, to a training area. And when you talk about going to a training area in those days, you didn't sort of go out to the barracks here and then go in the next street, or even just go a day's ride away. You went days away, you see. And in this case, from Lucknow, we went to Jansey, a place called Jansey, twice, 1931, 1932. And that was a good long way away. And when you got there, of course, an advance party had been before you. They'd prepared the camp and everything and got your camp done. And then you did 6 weeks training. I think it was 6 weeks, but it was a long time. All marching, all over the place. I don't think there's any really object to it because it was peace days. I think you're just occupying somebody's mind, really, and helping the young officers with their examination and things like that, you know, tactical manoeuvring. I think that's all. We've just moved from one place to another, and that was it. but it was good. It was all right. Yes, that's Lucknow.
Were you under canvas then?
Oh, yes. All canvas. There was these... tents. I think we used to get about ten, five a side in a tent with your gear and that.